Do please be seated. We're going to spend a few moments thinking about the first reading we had that Mel kindly read to us from Revelation. And you can find that on page 244 of the New Testament part of your church Bibles. And so this is the last part of our series called Finish Line Faith, looking at the seven letters dictated by Jesus to the early church in seven different places. And every time we've looked at one of these letters written to a church 2,000 years ago, we've been thinking about what is the message that this church has to us today? What wisdom, what insight do we overhear from Jesus as he speaks to those churches back then? That's my prayer for us today. So let me say a prayer. Jesus said, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Father God, would we hear and grow in faith as we listen to what you have to say to the church in Laodicea? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, imagine the most mediocre Mother's Day celebration ever. This isn't the kind of Mother's Day that's so awful. It's tragic, and because of that, it's almost funny and memorable. Petrol station flowers with the price still on it. Couldn't be more obvious that this was remembered at the last minute. Spilt Rice Krispies in bed. That kind of Mother's Day. No, this is bland, run-of-the-mill, forgettable Mother's Day. Starting with an okay card from an average shop, with a bland sentiment given with a boring breakfast and adequate flowers, followed by an intolerable lunch in an indifferent pub, served by a lackluster waiter whilst listening to commonplace conversation of moderate interest, before a forgettable journey home with an ordinary amount of traffic to receive a pedestrian gift of middling value, which is nothing to write home about, and fairly prosaic. A Mother's Day which is uninspired, undistinguished, unexceptional, and unremarkable. A dreary and forgettable day, utterly mediocre. But we'd never aim to put on a Mother's Day like that, would we? And yet many of us are quite happy leading Christian lives of breathtaking mediocrity. That's certainly true for the church in Laodicea. It was a mediocre church. I've often said that these letters to the churches are like school reports. They've got some good in them and they've got some bad in them. Well, if they're like school reports, this is the school report for the utterly forgettable child. The child who doesn't stand out at all for neither good nor bad. Now you go along to the parents' evening and sit down in front of the teacher. And it's very obvious that this teacher's got no idea who your kid is. Because as far as they're concerned, this is not a good child or a bad child. They're utterly forgettable, utterly missable. And Jesus says to the church in Laodicea, and maybe to us today, don't be a mediocre church. Don't be a mediocre church. And the solution to mediocrity in the Christian life is Jesus Christ. Allowing Jesus Christ to be part of your life and part of the life of the church. Don't be a mediocre church, says Jesus. His words in verse 15. He says, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or cold. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Yuck. It's not a nice image, is it? But that's the image Jesus wants to give of the church. In Laodicea, there was a water source. The water started as a thermal spring some miles away. By the time it got to the city, though, it was lukewarm. And it wasn't really good for very much. So full of minerals, if you tried to drink it, you'd probably vomit. Wasn't hot enough for it to be a nice thermal bath. It wasn't cold enough to be a nice mountain spring. It was just yuck. The only thing you could do with it was spit it out. And that's the picture of the church in Laodicea, the mediocre church. I wonder if you've given or received a Mother's Day cup of coffee in bed today. Maybe it was a nice steaming hot cappuccino with some nice sort of chocolatey powdery stuff and cream on the top. Maybe you received something like that. Or the opposite end of the spectrum, maybe you had a nice cold, refreshing frappuccino, an icy coffee. Delicious. What wouldn't be so great is a tepid coffee. That coffee that's been sitting on the windowsill for the last 2 weeks. Somehow it just got behind the curtain and people have forgotten that it was there. This is the coffee with a skin. It's the coffee with the texture of yogurt. The coffee with its own ecosystem. Imagine accidentally taking a thirsty slurp of that horrid cup. There's a terrible moment of realization before tepid nastiness is sprayed everywhere. Well, that is the picture of Jesus and the church, the mediocre church, the church that's good for nothing. And what makes it good for nothing? Well, Jesus describes the problem in verse 17. This mediocre church says, I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing. But they don't realize that they're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. In other words, the mediocre church is a deluded church. It's a church that thinks everything is just fine. In fact, more than that, everything is just great. The mediocre church could be slick, could be organized, it could be wealthy, and yet at the same time, it's mediocre, poor, naked, and blind. Well, what makes a mediocre church is mediocre Christians. Christians who are blasé about Jesus and his people in the local church. They don't really care all that much. Christians who don't really care about being the salt and light in their neighborhoods. Christians who have no interest in knowing more and growing in Christ. These are mediocre Christians, and they make for mediocre churches. And now, if you wanted to be a mediocre tennis player or a mediocre darts player or something like that, you could learn an awful lot from observing the mediocre Christian. If you wanted to be a mediocre tennis player, by looking at the mediocre Christian, you might learn that it's all right to turn up to just 1 in 4 training sessions. Maybe only go to training when you really feel like it, or only go when there's absolutely nothing else on. Only go when you're absolutely certain that your friends are going to be there. You'd learn that you should definitely not go if you only went last week, or if you'd have to set an alarm to wake up in time, or if you're feeling a tiny bit tired and it's raining and you don't want to get wet, or it's really sunny and you don't want to miss the chance to do something or anything else. That's the kind of commitment that will get you good and mediocre at anything you want, including being a disciple of Christ. What have we learnt from the letters in Revelation? Well, Jesus says time and time again, in the Christian life, you need to conquer. You need to stand your ground. You need to endure. To a certain extent, you need to be tough. You need the mental endurance of an athlete, the commitment of a soldier to succeed in the Christian life. We've all got pressures which make it hard for us to be committed to meeting with each other in the local church as much as we'd like. Sometimes it's work. Sometimes sickness, close family who live all too far away. And all these things are important. And you might be failing in a God-given role as a parent or sister or boss if you neglect them. But your Zumba instructor or your rugby coach or rowing team would never ever say to you, turn up just when you feel like it and you'll do just fine. They'd never say that, would they? And I can't say that either. Don't be a mediocre Christian who's blasé about the local church. Jesus says, let anyone who has an ear Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I wonder, is the Spirit saying to you as you hear these words, up your game, don't be a mediocre Christian, grow in your commitment, grow in your desire to know more? Is the Spirit saying that to you this morning? Don't be a mediocre church. And the solution to that is to let Jesus Christ in. Let Jesus in. Perhaps some of the most famous words in the Bible, these, in verse 20. Jesus says, listen, I'm standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you, and you with me. Some very famous words. You might know the Holman Hunt painting, The Light of the World. There's Jesus standing outside the door with his lantern and his hand raised to knock. And he wants to be let in. The last couple of weeks, you might have been aware of the passing of Billy Graham, the great American evangelist who came to our country several times on his missions and was very good friends with Her Majesty the Queen. And he'd often finish his gatherings by saying these words and saying, look, Jesus is standing outside of your life wanting to come in. Let him in and things will change. Let him in and become a child of God, Billy Graham would say. But of course, this is directed at the church as well. Mediocre churches, which Jesus is on the outside, somebody who's discussed but not known. Let Jesus in. That's the solution to mediocrity. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus being in the church, not outside it. Jesus who came to correct the delusion. Jesus says, you don't realize that you're wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Therefore, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white robes to clothe yourselves in, and keep the shame of your nakedness from being seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Powerful words those are. But perhaps when things are tough, it's a sign of God's love as he works within you through all of those difficulties. Laodicea was a prominent place for fashion. They had made their own special wool that was all nice and shiny, and everyone loved to wear it. It was a prominent place to get your eyes healed, a sort of temple where you could go to get your eyes fixed by some sort of priest-like doctor character. It was a very rich city as well. And Jesus says to them, look, you need salve for your eyes to see what's really going on. You need clothing from me, because at the moment you're naked and pitiable. You need to purchase gold from me, because as far as I'm concerned, you're poor and you need my help. Let Jesus in. Let Jesus into your daily life and work. Don't follow the crowd. Don't just try to fit in your daily life with everyone else, but be a blessing, someone who stands out and is a blessing, salt and light to others. Let Jesus into your quiet moments. Listen to him by reading the Bible. Speak to him by praying. Let Jesus into your commitment to the local church. Become a team player. And not just when it suits you, but when it really doesn't suit you as well. Say to people, I'll come and see you later. I've got church that morning. Visit the sick and the housebound. Volunteer for that task you're desperately hoping someone else is going to volunteer for. Let Jesus into the way you interact mentally and spiritually with what takes place at church. Listen with expectation. Listen and think hard. Think about, what does this mean for me tomorrow when I go about my daily life? Let Jesus into your family relationships. Shape them around the unconditional love of the Son of God at Calvary. Don't be a mediocre church. Don't be a mediocre Christian. Let Jesus Christ in. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Amen.